right now. I had to go back to the hospital last night, John Powers. I have good news. Just before service, I got an update. Last night, he went in. Very foggy, couldn't remember things, hallucinating. And this morning, he did remember who his son was, which was good. He remembered a few people, and he remembered enough to tell some jokes. So, if you know John, that means he's doing a little bit better. Joanne, who would normally be up here with us, was in a pretty bad car accident on the way down this morning. And she called us to let us know. She and Noah are at the hospital now. Noah bit his tongue in the accident, but is otherwise okay. Joanne's getting her back and neck checked out. But yeah, we're definitely asking for our prayers. Chris and Rhonda were coming down this morning, and Rhonda found herself not able to walk. So right now, she says, I don't know what it is. I don't have the strength. Pray for us, please. Unfortunately, George is still in recovery. And Betty, of course, you heard about Jim, about him taking his Uber down. He was on his way over here to come to church when he noticed that he wasn't doing so well. And so he got his neighbor into the car and took him to the ER. He's also there now. So we probably ought to get in our cars, go down to Sutter ER and see if we can insure them. No, they wouldn't like it. They're grouchy right now. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm running health control last night.
Let's lift up our brothers and sisters in prayer, please. So let's just take a couple minutes to do that. We'll leave it open to anybody who feels led by the Lord to do so before we move on to the Lord. Let's pray. It says, the earth is the Lord and all it contains. Sometimes it's everything in it. Can I get an amen? We serve a good landlord, don't we? The world and those who dwell in it. That's you and me, right? For he has founded it upon the seas, established it upon the rivers. In whom they ascend the hill of the Lord? Sorry, that's bad grammar. That's who, not whom. And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to falsehood, and who has not sworn the secret, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even gates. season today. And he's going to go for a few examples in Luke that are wonderful. But I want to talk about one of the blessed privileges we have of coming before God. You guys all remember how things, now we weren't there, but remember how we read things how they used to be in the garden? Did that sound like a nice place to you? Some of you guys have beautiful gardens and you want to stay there. I think it's neat to go out somewhere and invest. Have you ever been to Jamie's house? It's like a garden Disneyland. You walk in there in the back and there's just beautiful ground cover. She's got plants everywhere. She's got light, all these things. It looks like Disneyland at night. It's beautiful. And it reminds us of how God just sets up this perfect thing. He tells people, I want you to take this beauty and manage it. You all know that if we don't take time to manage some of the things that are around us, they don't look so good. I'll tell you, if you were there for cleanup this week, a few of you guys were, you're feeling it, right? Because if we don't take time, weeds, overgrowth problems, can we all thank the church for some of that stuff, you know? But it doesn't mean that work is bad. Did I get an amen?
Amen.
That was a weak amen. You're like, work
amen.
Is hard.
Amen.
Work is not a bad thing if we're going about God's business, right? And he allows us, and prepares, remember, he prepares work in advance for us to do. So we can trust that if it came our way, we got to roll in it, right? How many of y'all know that God allows things in our life and he expects us to do something about it? Sometimes it's to wait and pray. Sometimes he says, I want you to move in it. Sometimes we're not sure. So what do? When we do not know? We pray. We ask. We dig and we seek and we look. How many of y'all sometimes we think we know what we're supposed to do, but we were wrong? Sometimes it's like that. You know, but one of the most blessed things is that, and think about it, what was the best part of the Garden of Eden? Was it the fruit that you weren't in trouble for picking, right? Was it the, because there's one where we couldn't eat from, but there is the rest of it which was good, right? Man, I had a good fruit bowl yesterday. You know, but I happen to know that I bet you the fruit in the garden was better. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen, right? We have some good things on this earth that we enjoy, but I think God's plan before, the fall was probably, it tasted better to me. I don't find many things I think will taste better than a double-double, but I have to imagine that God's perfection in Eden was even better than anything I can plan or anything I can imagine. And so I trust it. But, and it's the same conversation I know all y'all have. And I apologize. I've been watching a lot of Southern stuff this week, and if you hear all y'all creep in there, I've been watching too many videos from Southern. And so I don't mean to do that on purpose. I had the problem whenever I hung out with, you guys know Pastor Gene was from Kentucky? When I would hang out with that man for more than an hour or two, I would have to intentionally not draw out my vowels because I would want to imitate that. And it wasn't to be insulting. I don't know about you, but when I sit around another accent, the kids would ask me at work, you Mr. Lane, how come you talk like this? I said, because that's how you talk to me all day long, so it kind of comes out, you know? Luckily, nobody thought I was making fun of them. It was not intentional, but that sometimes creeps in there. But speaking of being around someone who affects us, what is the best thing about the garden?
We walk with God.
Genesis 3, verse 8, right? After the fruit has been taken, after the deception of the serpent has been done, Adam and Eve heard footsteps, right? Whose footsteps? They were God's, right? What did they do when they heard the footsteps of God coming near? They hid. Anybody ever think about this? I talked with Dad yesterday about that. When we go before God, you ever think about those people, about like Adam and Eve, how they walked with God? And then you read Enoch, right? God has given us a list of genealogies about how Adam came, and we're coming down to Noah. And then he stops and says, Enoch, right? And he says, Enoch walked with God. It says for 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, had other sons and daughters. And then it says, so all the days of Enoch were 365. If you know that, you might say, oh, Enoch, poor guy, why did he die so young? Right? 365, it's not too much compared to everyone else around him. It says, Enoch walked with God, and then God took him. Or in some Bible verses, before he was no more. We get a little bit of clarity in Hebrews 11, 5, and 6. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. How did he get out of it? The rest of us are like, come on, we don't want to deal with it. But either way, praise God for what he does. And then it says, and he was not found to his face, the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Like we talked about last week, Thomas, the God of me and the Lord of me. We want to be and see other people live that kind of life who are seeking God in faith. And so we are encouraged that we have a living hope. The saddest thing about it is that who pulled away first? Was God aware that Satan had gone down and bumped up everything? Yeah. Was he aware that Eve was deceived and Adam sinned and took the fruit? Yeah, he was. But yet he's the one who still comes down. It was Adam who made the first move. He did because we were afraid. And we have us running away. In fact, this plague of fallen humanity would pull away. Jeremiah 23:23-24 says, "Is it my God who is in you?" declares the Lord, "and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I don't see him?" You can't play hide and seek with God. Remember, Jonah tried, right? "Why is a storm upon us? It's my fault. I'm running away from God. Chuck me over and it'll be okay." Right? He says, "Don't I fill the heavens and the earth?" declares the Lord. We can't hide. But yet a worse faith is in for those, because we have a picture that over time mankind has turned his heart away from God, polluted by sin. And then not only that are we affected by sin, but then we also commit our own. And we get to the point, like in Psalm 14, it says, "The fool has said in his heart," you guys all know it, what does the fool say? "There is no God." Not that we think it, hopefully not. If we do, that's foolish. He says, "They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." It says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that understood, any that seek after God." What did he find? He said, "There are all gone aside." We got quoted in Romans 10, chapter, probably Romans 3, verse 10 on. It says, and altogether have become, as it says in the King James, filthy, unclean, corrupt, fallen aside. There is none who does good, no, not one. Anybody else read that and become offended? I don't know, man. Human pride sometimes gets the better of us. I know Odie Bach was a preacher. I like what he said about it. He says, sometimes people come up to me and they say, "How come a good God lets these bad things happen to people?" He says, "You know, I'm waiting for someone to come up and say, how come a good God allows me to keep on breathing and doing the things, even though I sin against him in my heart and my mind? How come God is so gracious to me?" Sometimes we don't recognize how far we've fallen. We recognize that siding with sin and Satan is a bad idea, right? Man. And I look at this and I see a beautiful picture of Jesus who healed. This is almost at the first point. Jesus has authority. Remember, he said, "I got all authority in heaven and earth." He says to bring physical fullness or perfection. One of the words we use for perfection in the Bible means to be lacking nothing. Anybody want to be lacking nothing? Yeah. See, I want to be perfect. I want to have nothing missing. I was talking to Pat today about this. That poor guy's out there. He's got some hurt. We're talking about stuff, you know, from way back when. He's like, "Man, how come I feel that?" If you ever have an injury that you wonder, why am I hurting? You remember that? "Oh, yeah, I heard that years ago. Why is it talking to me now?" You know, so God can use you as weather. Now we can just call you, right? And say, "Is it going to rain? Ah, it's hurting. Me and I've got a headache. Weather's coming, right?" Find blessings even in things that are hurting. But we have a Jesus who reverses the curse and shows us this beautiful picture. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and look at our Lord's word. In verse 38 it says, and this is just after, we've been talking around this time about Jesus, right? Jesus goes to Peter's house. It says, "And he arose, left the synagogue, and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and had made party, and then made a request of him on her behalf. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever and it left her. And she immediately arose and waited on him." Isn't that cool? Didn't say the fever dissipated, it went down a little bit. It says it went. She got up immediately. Anybody want that kind of feeling? Like, yes. Thank you, God. Don't always get it, but praise God when he does. "And while the sun was setting, all who had any sick." Why'd they come after the sunset? Are they creeping around at night? How many of y'all know if he was in synagogue, it was a Sabbath, right? That means they weren't allowed to be walking around so much, but when the sun went down and the new day started, it's Sunday. Let's go see Jesus. How many of many of y'all know we still want to do that today, right? It's Sunday.
Let's go to Jesus.
The anxious found in places and buildings might be important.
We find them in our hearts,
but we get together and worship him. So they came, and they brought the sick and people with various diseases and laying his hands on some of them. What do you guys got?
Every one of them.
He was healing them. In some cases, the demons were coming out and crying, "You are the Son of God," and rebuking them. He would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. He said Jesus probably was saying, "My ministry is not come yet time, but this is all out there." And by the way, if you want Satan's henchmen to be your PR people, I don't know about you, but if you want somebody proclaiming you, you might not want to pick the ones who rebel against you first. They're not the best witnesses. And he says, "Hey guys, shut up. Get out of here." Paraphrase. And of course it says here that he rebuked them and they wouldn't allow them to speak. There is more there, but we'll get to that in a moment. We also see just a little bit later around this time there's a few parts of the scripture I want to cover. Skip over to chapter 5, verse 12. You guys know what this is. And it came that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. Y'all know that when they say leprosy, a lot of times it just refers to a lot of skin diseases. That could be a whole lot of things, but if you're talking like about Hansen's disease, where you literally will have parts of you falling off and get really bad, it's not just a skin disease, it's deeper than that, but you see the effects. It can be horrible. When people in Jesus' day, especially if they have these things, were isolated and left with colonies. You know there's still some of those around today, right? Different parts of the world. It wasn't legal for these people to go around most other folks. They had to say unclean, unclean, so nobody could risk contamination by getting near them. With these kind of diseases, where is some place that they were never allowed to go? They couldn't go to the temple. Or before it's time to tabernacle. They could not draw near to God because of their physical illness. And that was hard sometimes. But of course, what does Jesus do? That leper comes and says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him. Anybody think it's cool that Jesus touched the leper? That's love, folks. And he says, "I am willing to be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus just needs to do things over and over again to show who he is, to show his great love. And he does it also to show the same kind of work he has yet to do. Because what is an affliction that every human being suffers from? It's sin. And what does Jesus do? The Holy One of God, who has no sin in and of himself, but touches the hearts of sinners and hates and says, "I will take your sin. I will keep my righteousness for you so that you can be clean. And I will take your sin for you." That's amazing. In fact, we have the next story. I shouldn't say story, because when you say the word story, it sounds like it's made up, like it's telling stories. But when we have the next account of Jesus going and healing the paralytic who was brought, that man who can't walk, what is this? What are the first words out of Jesus' mouth when he sees the faith of those people who came? He said, "Son, you're what? Your sins are forgiven." Right? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." Of course, the Pharisees in their hearts, "Who is this guy that can do that?" Because they rightly surmised only God can forgive sins. He goes, "So that you know the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins on the earth." What's easier, to say to this man, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Rise up, take your bed, and walk"? And so what does Jesus do? Maybe showing off a little bit? Not in a sinful way. He's just showing that he has the authority to forgive sin. He says, "Son, take up your bed and go." And what does he do? He gets up and he goes. We have a Lord who has the authority to heal us from these physical things. But we recognize, too, for everybody that Jesus healed and brought back to life, what probably happened to them eventually? Well, probably died again. As much as we maybe desire for these things to come, Jesus came, of course, not just to heal us from immediate needs, but looking for eternal problems. Because just like in the garden, the problem of nearness to God was brought, right? That we could no longer be near God because of sin. Jesus
reaches out, even though we hide. I'm here to bring a light, because what did God do with Adam and Eve? And even in their sin, He cut them in the skins of animals to cover them, a blood sacrifice to cover. And He foretold about one coming from the woman who would come, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ, who would come to defeat the work of Satan, to defeat sin, and have a victory in it that we can look forward to, and not just a temporary healing, but a healing for eternity. Is anybody looking forward to the new body for an eternity when we don't have these problems? Thank you for two honest people. No. I know that. This is hard. It's hard to get to say it to those people. But don't even raise your hand, because it might hurt. How many of us just right now are dealing with physical pain, even at this very moment, and are hurting right now? How many of us have people we love that are hurting right now? That's a real problem. How many of us know people who are right now headed to hell without Jesus? I may struggle in this life for a moment with transitory pain, but I have trust that Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. Because He could not be held by the grave, and because He has offered me His righteousness, I don't have to face death alone and then be with Him forever to walk with God like you know, like Adam. There is great hope for us. And only found in Christ Jesus. The second point I want you to write down, Jesus has authority to bring true spiritual wholeness. We've been talking about it as well, as He not only can forgive, of course, what is a physical problem and can repair those things damaged, but more importantly, He can break what was broken in sin. He can bring those who are spiritually dead to life. That is a great thing. We look at the end goal and again, reconcile humanity to Himself. Think about one of the purposes here, Colossians 1:22. Yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him, holy and blameless beyond reproach. Guys, we're getting cleaned up. Praise God. In Jude 24, it says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. Is anybody looking forward to standing in the presence of the Lord blameless, no guilt? I am. That's amazing. What's more amazing is even considered us now. It says you're seated in the heavenly places now because of Christ and faith in Him. When we're born again. Now, does that mean everything's easy? No. No, I don't think so. Man, I heard this week, I think someone said it was a John Wayne quote. What, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. One of y'all quote me. He said, you know what? Life is hard, and if you're stupid, it's a lot harder. I think I live that more sometimes than I'd like to admit, but why are things so hard? That's because you're making dumb decisions. I could make it easier for you. Stop walking that way. But we walk moment by moment by God's example. How did Christ say that He lived? He said He spoke the things that His Father had showed you. He said, I do what I see my Father doing. Giving us a perfect example. And what is the most blessed thing we have? And that's point three. Jesus has the authority to bring you before the Father perfect. To present you before the Father without blemish, without guilt. To clean us entirely. And so what do we do? Even now, we think, Lord, there's so many problems. What about this? Did He not walk with God before or after the fall? He asked. Folks, we live in a fallen world. By the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we are allowed to walk with God. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. A God who couldn't be around us so much. Remember Moses, let me see your glory. He says, no, I got to stick you over here in the cleft, and then I got to cover things up, and maybe I'll let you see the shiny part of me from behind, and I'll make sure you can still live. He probably talked about that last week, right? And he's shining and glowing afterwards. They had to put a veil on him. Moses, you're freaking us out. You're shining like the Shekinah glory of God. Anybody else want to shine for Jesus? But Paul says, of course, that glory faded over time. The shade was even there. Not so much just to hide from the bright glory, but to prevent people from seeing that it was real. But Jesus has promised us the glory in Him that will never fade. And it's not for our sake. It's not because we were so great and deserving, but we have a gracious God whose grace and mercy goes beyond anything we could ask or offer. And he desires to present us to the Father, pure and blameless. And how do we draw near then and approach a loving God on a daily basis who we can draw near to? Nearness is there. I love looking at these things where Jesus, even himself, took time. What did it say after he healed all these people, right? It says when the day came, in verse 42, Luke chapter 4, 42, and when the day came, he departed and went to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him, and he came to him. Pardon me, I think I'm getting a little confused here. Departed from him in a lonely place. Multitudes were searching for him, and they came to him and tried to keep him from going away, right? Why did Jesus go out to a desolate, lonely place? He likes to go away and to pray, right? Take a look at what it says there after he healed that leper. But he himself would often slip away to the wilderness after 5:15 and pray. And he would isolate himself to go be with God. Sometimes anybody who knows, sometimes you just need to slip away and be with God for a little bit. They slip away because this world is hard. And we need to be able to draw near to a world that is loving and who has made a way for us to be close to him. He got a job offer at university. Didn't really want to take it. He had to move, go to a new place. He said, I'd really like to stay where I'm at. I'm teaching at my alma mater. It's a dream job I've always had. And now I've got offered a full-time position somewhere else. So he goes to the leadership there at that college and says, I've been offered a teaching position. And they said, what? Wait a second. We'll offer you a full-time position if you stay here. He's like, what? Well, this must be, you know, God's perfect will for me. I'm getting exactly what I wanted. But praise God, he had the discernment to stop and say, hold up. He didn't until he called the other job, who called him first, and says, you know, the place I'm at just offered me a full-time position, and the dean there said, pray on it for a week, and then tell me what to think after. So he wanted to be a man of integrity. He went and he prayed that every day. He even brought students to his house. And even sometimes all night long, they would pray for God's will to show him one way or the other, where do you want me to go? I think it was one of the last nights before he had to make a decision. He got a call at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's his neighbor he grew up with, that was about 1,500 miles away, had found him. And y'all know things you guys probably read. Before the internet, right, you couldn't just Google somebody and try to track things down. This guy had to go from operator to operator trying to find out where this one guy was in the country. That sounds crazy, but he guessed and did his best. And he finally found him after hours of looking and said, I don't know. He answered the phone. Hello? Did somebody die? Is it family? He's like, no, this is your neighbor from when we were kids. He's like, He says, I've been on the phone for hours trying to track him down. He says, I said, I cannot tell you why, but I know from God that I have to tell you this. Take the job in Massachusetts. ourselves. Sometimes we just invite things on ourselves, right? Sometimes they don't quite know the disciples when they look at that man who was born blind. God, did this guy sin or did his parents sin? But neither. This was done so that God's glory may be manifested, so that people can see something amazing. Sometimes there are just problems in our life so that God can be given greater glory. We don't understand it, but we say, God, I want to thank you in all things. We don't want to fully understand it, but let him draw near to you. Sometimes you may give me an answer that I don't like. Anybody else got an answer from God you didn't like? I've been told no things. I really, really wanted to ask you. I was very surprised when he told me who I was supposed to marry. I said, no, this isn't a common thing, but I was very confident in my prayers. And I threw off the fleece and asked for a lot of weird stuff, which is not a good idea. It's kind of like Bible roulette. You ever this? God, if you want me to do something right now, I'll pick a verse. And that's what it's going to be. It's like, oh, the first book of concordance. Okay. Doesn't make any sense. We don't want to play games with God, but sometimes the God says, God, he says, look, I need you to do this. And it's important. I would have never chosen a woman so proud of your mother because I didn't think I deserved a woman so proud of your mother. And I said, there's no chance. It'll never happen. I need you to make this happen. I was supposed to say, you like that. So, I said, I don't want to push this and make it, you know, like, you ever try to fulfill God's will before his time? You can push it, doesn't work that well. I said, I don't want to mess this up. Can you please have her do the pursuing? Because I thought, I'd be too shy. That'll never happen. And she said, yeah, she ignored me. Yeah, you hear her laughing. Yeah, she intentionally ignored me. I thought she hated me. And I said, that woman is never going to come around. I see. I'm saying this, but that's what my heart says. I said, God, I think I know what you told me, but I don't know if that's going to be true. By the grace of God over time, he did everything he said, and even the stuff that he didn't have to get out. The proof to me that I was committed, that woman, that godly woman, that powerful yet meek godly woman. Y'all don't know. But she's who I needed to surround me out with a very important man. I was gracious. I wonder on her part, did you know that in praying for a husband, God would give you somebody who would sometimes bring you more grief than good, but allow you to show his glory and love even in the midst of that? Can anybody look at your wife or your husband and say, thank you for being a gift from God? Thank you for being a gift from God. We don't deserve it, folks. The good, the bad, the ugly, we've probably seen a lot of it. But it's by the grace of God that he sometimes will reach out to us and say, I've got something for you, and it must be hard. Look at you, my friend, before the cross, because if there's another way, let this cup pass, but not my will, but yours be done. Now, I didn't pray that when I was looking at my life. Oh, let this cup pass from me, not her. My prayer was, let this cup more pass from her. I'm not worthy. But not my will, but yours be done. Not because of humility. Probably not the false humility and crying and stuff they're trying to pretend itself as humility. But in my fault, I still saw fit to bless me. 15 years and 5 kids. So by the grace of God. And so we look at these things and know that we can draw near to a God who does guide, who does love, who has a perfect plan. We don't understand it, but we want to be obedient to it when we know it well. And trust in moment by moment. And we can pray, we can ask, and we can see. Do we want to be a generation who speaks and obeys the God of faith? Do we want to walk with God like Adam and Eve and not hide anymore? Yes, we do. In Jesus' name, do we want to show other people who this wonderful Lord is who we discover? Yes, we do. Do we desire healing for people and ourselves? Yes, we do. We recognize that the greatest healing ever is being born again in Jesus Christ by the will of God and the power of the Spirit. Yes, we do. troubles of this world will not overcome us, will not outweigh our joy. And people are fighting and don't even know which side they're on. They are